The reading today is in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 26. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless.
Well, I just want to, last time I spoke, it was stood up at the Longcroft. You feel a bit freer. You can walk around. You can express yourself a bit more. You can, there is a little bit of restriction staring into a laptop. I can see if you're falling asleep, so look out. but anyway, I just want, if you've got your Bible, just to open in James chapter 1. And during the whole lockdown and just having a real little bit of time to read, one of the things that I've done is just spent more time just reading, and not through gaining knowledge, but understanding. I want to understand, and it was prayed just now about the times that we're in at the moment. And one of the ways that you can do that, there are many, many, many voices out there at the moment. You'll be deluged with many thoughts, many ideas, what's happening. Can I just say, throw yourself into the word yourself. And this is something that I feel very strongly about. And it's something that I've actually really enjoyed doing, reading the word, but also other books. It's just been great. It's almost playing catch up from the years that I wasted at school, not being a very good boy. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? So just really read it, meditate on it. And thanks for reading, Wendy. But just in James, and James, like I mentioned before, when I was at Longcroft, he doesn't, he packs a bit of a punch in the words that he says. His nickname was James the Just, or he was the stable one. And boy, how do we need stable ones within the church now? We really do. We need those with stability and leaning themselves upon the Lord Jesus. And James is writing here, and in chapter 1, near the end, in my Bible, it just says this little phrase. It says, qualities needed in trials. And it's verse 19, and it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. It doesn't produce a right way of living. I'm not sure if you would admit to this. You may want to put your hand up this morning. I want to try and make it a bit interactive. Have any of you ever got those things in the wrong order? I have. Yeah, I can see some hands going up. I mean, let's start with some honesty. Maybe you've rushed in a bit too quick with a word not in season. Maybe you've got a little bit angry about something. And these are the times now in hardships that can actually produce that. These hardships that they're in at the moment have actually in some ways exposed a bit of a soft underbelly, I believe. I think that's on humanity, not just the church. It does do that. That's being very honest. But I just want to reiterate the order in which, if you want to hear from the Lord Jesus, it said in the verses before, verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So then this next verse, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. There is an incredible order there. We have to come and we have to hear what the Lord is speaking to us. Now, you may say to me, Mark, we need the voice of the church to be heard. I get that. I understand it. But here's the thing. The amazing thing is that this here wonderful word is for all of us as individuals to be disciplined in, to read, to ask the Lord to speak to us. That's incredible. That really is incredible. Yes, we need the voices from in the church and the prophetic voice, but I find it so wonderful that the Lord has given this to everyone that we can read. What a joy. So let's make sure that it's the right order. Let's be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The man does not produce righteousness. Let's go on to verse 21. Therefore, here's a little bit of a something that you will need to do in order for the Lord to speak. Here it is. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Can I just say just something on this? Who was this letter addressed to? Well, it was the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad. This word is just not for those that do not believe, but it's those that believe. Strong language, isn't it, from James? This is the thing, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. There's another translation for overflow of wickedness. It's called a superfluidity of naughtiness. Now, have that. What about that? Superfluidity of naughtiness. It's very true, isn't it? Some things can come into our life and it can be fluid. Let's just go on. This thing about receiving with meekness the implanted word. I love this phrase, this description of the word being implanted. You may already think of a picture of a plant, the shoot being engrafted into another and then producing strength and then fruit inevitably. Wonderful picture. I've got another analogy. My work is dentistry and I have to do a lot of work with implants. Please don't switch off your Zoom. But I'm going to get a little bit in detail. I mean, what happens with an implant? Okay, if you've lost your teeth, you need some teeth replaced, you get an implant and by surgery it gets engrafted and placed into your jaw. You have this metal component and it goes into your jaw and then it goes through a real key stage and it's called osteointegration. And this is when bone around this metal piece of implant, it grows around and it binds it very closely. It's a process that you have to go through and it goes around the implant, it locks it in place and it almost makes it part of your bone. And I'm sorry if you're having your breakfast, but there you are. If you actually see the surgery, it's incredible. But anyway, over time you have this implant that is part of your bone. It's strength for you then to eat and do the various things that you need to do. And I just realized that this here is also like the implanted word. If you lay aside all the things that hinder you, the Lord can speak an implanted word into our hearts. And it almost just becomes part of us. It almost kind of combines that nature of what we have. And it actually overflows into our daily living of what we do. So in some ways, whilst I'm doing the implants at work, if I have the implanted word in me, it makes a difference of how I am with people that I work with, family members that don't know the Lord, neighbours. Can I just say, oh, keep reading implanted word. Let it take depth into us, into our bones, into our bodies, into our minds, and let it just work out its wonderful purposes. Anyway, enough of my dental analogies. Excuse me, I think the plant one is probably better, but there you go. Let's just go on. It says about not being just hearers, but doers. One of the things that really caught me about the implanted word, what is the purpose of the implanted word? What is the purpose? Is it just to make us feel for the day ahead, feel good? And just get by? Let me just read you this verse. Talks about it. You don't need to turn there. But the incredible thing in Romans chapter 1, the implanted word does this. Incredible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Can you see that amazing link of salvation there? That this implanted word, it somehow brings this incredible viewpoint of salvation. Each day when you read and let the Lord speak to us, it's a way for salvation. Salvation's working. Wonderful. Isn't that true? I just think that's great. Let's go on. Something about James, because he doesn't mince his words. If you spend time reading in a certain area, you start to pick up things. Now, if I just gave you a challenge for this week, if I said to you, would you read 1 Corinthians 13, which is a lovely chapter often read at weddings, talks and describes the greatest gift of all, and it says love. If I asked you this week each morning to read that chapter, I have faith to say that at the end of the week, that would have an impact on our lives. Honestly. The wonderful descriptions of the wonderful of God's love. If you read that chapter in the morning as you rise this week, at the end of the week, I think there would be something that would be implanted in our lives. That's how wonderful it is to read the Lord's living word. Isn't that true? You can put your thumbs up or your hands up if you want. I'm getting a bit excited now. But this is the wonderful joy. If you're not into reading at all, go for it. Just start to read, not through knowledge, not just gaining that knowledge, as I said earlier on, but wonderful, just a sense of understanding, oh, the Lord again, what he's speaking to us now, who he is. Wonderful. My children are sat here on the couch. I think they're thinking, Dad, you're going to take off soon. You're going to start bouncing around the room. Anyway, let's just go on. James uses another illustration here. This is about being doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. I'm not sure if you've checked the mirror this morning. Did anyone have a little dance in the mirror as you woke this morning? I can see a few nodding. No, some are just don't want to even. No, okay. Move on, Mark, move on. But there is a sense that, James, I love the way he just uses pictures, that you actually can have a glance in the mirror, move on, and just nothing gets done. Nothing actually gets done that the Lord wants to do in us. But what the Lord wants is people that will hear him and then act on it and do. And these are not just works that are actual practical works. I was trying to do my own little homework here. It's not just the thing of how wonderful it is going out and doing some practical. It's actually using those things that the Lord has given us, gifts. He's given us gifts. These are works that can be used. And I know one of the things that I so have missed without us meeting in the flesh is just the Lord's spirit and his gifts being used in the body of his people. It's been a huge miss in a sense. I know we have it in some form now, but meeting together, having that, is just a wonderful thing, and we will again. Let's just go on. So when you look in that mirror and then you move on and you easily forget what you've heard, let's just remember when we've heard it, act upon it, move with the Lord's calling and his spirit in our lives. Just a couple of things, just out of passing. I keep thinking a lot about James as I've been reading in it. And one of the things that he lived with the Lord Jesus, he was his half brother. And he spent years living with Jesus in the same household. And yet he didn't believe. I find that incredible. God incarnate in his son, Jesus Christ, in the same household, but James did not believe. Can you get your head around that? And something that really struck me was I was thinking about Mary and Joseph, and I wonder if they had a favorite son or not. I shouldn't really say that, but in a sense, it took the Lord's appearing to James later on for him to believe. And I just thought, well, we have the wonderful implanted word where he speaks and he appears through his word now for us. And that's an incredible thing, but it really caught me that you can actually read and read and go through all the kind of the routine of church things, but never come to that place of really just having that wonderful thing of, I believe, yes, it's true. He is the wonderful Savior. He is the one that was resurrected and now is alive again now. And it really caught me that all the times that James would have witnessed Jesus, when he went and reasoned and taught in the temple, the way he handled himself, you know, the Lord Jesus went through every temptation that was thrown at him, and that was through all his different age levels, okay? So a young guy, all through his teen years, all through his 20s, he faced every temptation, and he was still perfect. That's incredible. James would have looked upon that, but yet still couldn't bring himself. And it says in John chapter 7, let me just read this to you, very brief little verse, but a little bit of context for it is that they were basically, Jesus didn't want to go to a certain area because his time has not yet come. And then it talks about his brothers, that even his brothers did not believe in him. It took the Lord to appear again, and he appeared to many different people in those 40 days. He appeared to James, and that was the key thing. That appearance to James then brought about a man, a just man, a stable man, a man that actually had to deal with massive issues in the church at Jerusalem, okay? And some of the apostles went and disappeared, and they did all that. They went and spoke the gospel out in many areas. It was actually James that actually brought a stability and hung in there and dealt with some major issues in the church. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. But let's just go on. It says here, and going back to James again, says at verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James uses some incredible pictures. And if you think about the tongue, one of the smallest parts of your body that can wreak the most havoc, it's such a warning, isn't it? It's a warning to us now. This is so appropriate now. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Just that last phrase, just a little comment on that, unspotted from the world. I sense at the moment what's going on around the world in very different places. We are in a pandemic. One of the things is that when you read scripture at the moment, I'm finding that I'm reading it in some ways, you've got to be really careful with this, but in the light of being in a pandemic. And it can actually take away the element of the Lord speaking through his Bible, his verses, that you can actually get swamped down by what's happening in the pandemic. And Roger highlighted it earlier on. We mustn't let that in some ways just swamp down what the Lord wants to say to us. I'm fully aware of the times at the moment. I'm aware of the times in the massive changes in America, what's happening, the rise of the huge left liberal movement. There's huge things going on, spiritual things. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but there are huge spiritual principalities that are working in different nations at the moment. And this is what I've had time to think about and to read about and just kind of really give it unto the Lord. But it should never snatch away what the Lord wants to say through his implanted word. The very simplicity of you and I reading his book this morning and listening to it being read earlier on. Oh, the Lord can speak to us individually. Yes, we want a voice to be heard in the church, but it could be you. The Lord may want to speak to you this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Not just to get through this hard time, there might be something more. He wants to get even closer to us. He wants to walk ever so close to us. He wants to be in our hearts. It says here, keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does that mean? Well, John says a few things. John does this great description of the world, which we are not to love. He says this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, if those phrases don't sum up what's happening in the world now, which is actually getting worse and worse, that gets it in a nutshell for me. It's the lust of the flesh. It's at epidemic levels. I won't go into all the details this morning, not the right time and place, but it's hitting men. Epidemic levels of the lust of the flesh. Also the lust of the eyes. But the Lord has something so much better, deeper, something for us to have implanted in our lives. And the pride of life, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's we're living in a fierce and angry times at the moment, both in politics, in nations against nation. We must never be surprised by that. Also not surprised by hardships. Again, like I said earlier on, it actually can sometimes produce and show a little bit of a soft belly because we're not used to. We've been so affluent in the West here, hugely affluent. We've had so much. But the Lord, he's not surprised by what's going on, but he gives us his implanted word to keep us strong, steady, stable. Just to throw down that challenge again, read 1 Corinthians 13 each day this week. At the end of the week, just have a little bit of time to meditate and reflect. It's wonderful. I've just had similar just going through James. Just the little phrases that he comes up with. It's not just me gaining knowledge about knowing, oh, wonderful, I tried to do a little commentary on James. It's not. It's actually had an impact about where you just go to work and face the day. How do you face the day with people that don't yet believe? Well, one of the things, I read a book by John Lennox, and such a clever man, but yet he gave just such great examples of advice about speaking with people that don't yet know the Lord. He said that he would just in some ways really encourage you to encourage that person to read the Bible for himself. Read John's Gospel. If you know someone that's just unsure and maybe seeking, just one thing that you can do is ask him, just read John's Gospel. And the incredible thing is that there is power through the Lord's word that can actually speak through them just reading themselves. And we're in times at the moment where we are online. There's almost an impersonal element at the moment where we're not face to face. But one of the things that they can do is just that simple reading. The Lord can do an incredible thing. And remember, I mentioned earlier on that it's reading and taking on the word of the Lord that which actually comes through into salvation. That's incredible. Wonderful. Unfortunately, the word of the Lord is under attack. It's been neglected even in church circles and different streams. We must hold on to it like that implant I described earlier on. We need to let the bone grow around it, have that time of osteointegration. I love saying that because it sounds quite a long word for me. But allow that time for the Lord's word to grow in us, make us who he wants us to be. That's just what happened to James. He didn't believe. And then the Lord appeared to him. And then things changed. And he had an awful death at the end. But even at the death of at the end, he worshipped the Lord. And he actually said those same words of the Lord. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Incredible. What a change. Transformation. As he was being stoned. Oh, Lord. Some versions use that word engrafting. Another great word. Really, it's just this kind of living extension of your life that can produce spiritual fruit. And I've not mentioned it at all today, but this is the incredible thing. When James is describing things about being implanted, it's not just to remain strong and that's it. But in actual fact, taking the analogy or the picture of that, of a plant being grafted and rooted in together, there's something about that. There will be fruit that's bared, spiritual fruit. So by the implantation of reading something for yourselves, not always just listening to someone speak, please don't turn off right now, but after I finish or later on, when you actually read for yourselves, incredible, Lord can speak. And I know you're probably thinking, Mark, I've known that for many years. It's not rocket science, but it's something new every day. Something new every day that Lord can speak to us. It's freshness in his word. And from it becomes that wonderful fruit. I think someone says that little phrase before, judge your root by its fruit. Whereabouts are you rooted this morning? Is it rooted in listening to many media outlets at the moment? Please don't misunderstand me here, but the actual rise of false prophets at the moment is huge because there is a vacuum going on, a spiritual vacuum in the different countries and nations and political groups. Be very wary of the voices that you hear. But in this wonderful living word, this book here, the Lord can speak to us in our hearts. Grab onto it, hold on to it, ingest it, meditate on it, repeat it, like 1 Corinthians 13, repeat it. We're just having a lovely blessing. We read with our the family at the moment. The kids are around the table and we're just reading through John. And there's something just wonderful. There'll be strength in the family unity at the moment and small groups. Just read about it. We can't all meet up, but I just really would say and really kind of encourage you, if you're on your own or with someone else or just in a family unit, read together. Just read together. Have that wonderful time that the Lord can speak. Precious Lord. Well, there's fruit. As you read, as you allow the word to kind of, it doesn't sort of lay dormant in our lives. It actually produces something bared out. People can see, people can taste. People will know, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but most of my hours of my day are just in a workplace, just working away, making teeth, allowing people to smile again. But in actual fact, underneath all that work, there are people's lives there. Some deeply hurt, some unbelieving, or many unbelieving. But the incredible thing is that I realize that through reading and the implanted word, the important thing about it is that I don't just read it and look in that mirror and gaze in it and think, oh, wow, yeah, okay, I'm happy with that, and move on. The incredible thing is that looking and gazing through that mirror, it's that we must then go into those places, environments where people don't know, and just show that wonderful love of the Lord. Show it, express it. Lean upon the Saviour, let his words come out. There's nothing restraining about the Lord's word, you know. As we read earlier on, it says about laying aside all filthiness. One of the key things is you have to get rid of those things first. Just prepare the ground for the Lord to speak. It says lay aside all filthiness. It doesn't say restrain it. I'll hold it back just for this little time and the Lord can just help me in this situation and we'll be fine again, back on track. No, he's saying, leave it all aside. In some ways, it's actually like a picture of removing a piece of clothing. It's taking the jacket off. It's totally, that's how he's speaking. It's this kind of language. And that's what he wants for us. And this is not for just a certain age group. I think the temptation often is to think maybe sort of a young adult or young person, you're into certain things and you're struggling with certain issues. Well, it is relevant, but it's relevant for all of us. Remember what I described, how John said about the pride of life? Some of these temptations and things and desires that start with us can creep in at all ages. But wonderful James language and the Lord speaking to us saying, just leave it aside, fresh start. fresh space, fresh ground for the Lord's implanted word. Wonderful. Are you still with me? You know that I can look on gallery and check you're not falling asleep. There you are, a couple of people. It's just really exciting. I'm going to come to an end now, but I wish I could just stand up and be a bit more expressive. But in some ways, it just excites me, the Lord's word. It's fresh for today. It's not locked down. It's sharper still than anything else out there, that sword. It's not gone blunt. We just have to implant it, and then whatever situation we're in, I'm thinking that most of us on the screen now would have family relatives that don't yet know the Lord. They could still be in that place of James, who actually lived with God incarnate, Son, Jesus, but still wouldn't believe. Be the man that the Lord wants you to be, and come and ask for his wonderful life. I'm saying it to people that may believe, but there may be some this morning that don't. Come this morning and take that in wonderful, engrafted word. Read it, let it sink in, and then let the Lord just outlive it through us and in us. Incredible. Precious Lord. Well, James the just. Going back to that man, James. James's other name, his nickname was Oblius, which means stalwart or reliable. He was Mr. Reliable. This is what the implanted word can do. And in the world that we live in at the moment, Mr. Reliable would probably be said Mr. Boring. And I've had that leveled at me a few times. Mr. Boring likes to play safe. If you're into snooker, playing safe, playing a safety shot. There's nothing, in some ways, there's nothing safe about it, because in actual fact, it takes that incredible element of faith to rely on the Lord's word. What does it say? It describes about how does faith come by what? How does faith come by? Yeah, I've given you a clue here. There's an ear. Hearing. Wonderful. And we've sung about faith this morning, haven't we? Faith will actually have that, is that wonderful ingredient that when you hear, when you read for yourself tonight, this afternoon or in the morning, it's where that wonderful element of faith just comes in. Incredible. I'm going to come to an end now. But can I just say, the incredible thing about James is that he does focus so much on our everyday practical living. But underneath that, there is a real deepness to what he's saying. We must let patience have its perfect course. And at the moment, I know we're facing hardships, trials on many fronts, and there's been illness amongst us. The incredible thing that James suggests in chapter one is that there is joy in suffering. Can you believe that? He actually was in some ways saying, let's thank the Lord for the trials that we go through, because it's in that place that patience works, and then comes a completeness, a wholeness. That's incredible, isn't it? Well, I'm going to finish. I'm just going to pray as we finish. I'm very conscious at the moment of people that don't yet know, maybe in some ways have gone dry, maybe in a season of just not feeling like the Lord is speaking to them. Maybe there's someone there who's tuned in, who's not yet really trusting in the Lord. On all these different levels, can I just say, and there is wonderful hope, Lord, wonderful insurance in the implanted word to read, meditate on, know this morning that it's living, it's alive, wants to change the course of our lives, the way we practically outlive in our daily things that we do. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Thank you that we can read it. We can live it, Lord. We don't want to just pass by looking in the mirror, Lord, and move on and not do anything. Lord, we do want to hear you. We want to do your will, Lord Jesus. Let your will be done in our lives, Lord. Lord, and as a group, as a gathering here, Lord, on Zoom, Lord, and for those in different nations, we pray for their little groups too, Lord. That faith would rise amongst those groups, Lord Jesus, across all the nations that we represent this morning, Lord. Lord, may they throw themselves, Lord, into your word. And Lord, we want to see your wonderful fruit, Lord. We do remain branches, Lord. We're reminded to be a branch, Lord Jesus. And you're the vine, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your fruit will come out, Lord Jesus, in these times, Lord, of hardship. Precious Lord, we love you this morning. Amen.